I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast. Hello and welcome to the podcast Stories You've Missed, accounts of God's amazing grace in the lives of ordinary people at Grand Parkway Baptist Church. I'm joined by Dr. David Grubbs, who is a professor at Houston Baptist University, married to Katie, who also is a professor and a PhD in her own right. They have four wonderful kids. He is a regular Sunday Bible study teacher here at Grand Parkway, and often, almost without exception, I can't think of ever a time, is wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So if you're trying to locate him, like, hey, I think that's the guy. So welcome, David.
Thank you.
And David is here to talk briefly about his experience of God's grace in choosing a vocation. So you are a professor at a university, and for all us non-professors at universities, we have you can let us know if it's true or not, a sense of what is a professor's life. It's wood paneling and endless budgets and just a little bit of grading, and you know, you work 5-6 hours a week, and all the students always do their homework on time and all the other
false. All of that is true. It is wicked cush. None of that's true. I do have an office. I'm rather proud of it. But there's no wood paneling. I don't wear a tweed coat with elbow patches.
Yes.
I have one, but it doesn't fit anymore. Oh golly.
And so,
where should we start if we're correcting that image?
Yeah, if it wasn't the I'm in it for the money, I'm in it for the
right.
You know, I'm in it for the status, the role, and what I can get. Also, as a believer, you're probably in it because of the calling,
right?
And so, I would speak just for a few minutes about how did you navigate getting God's grace as far as a calling to this vocation?
Yeah, you're right. It's not the financial privilege. I'm sure there are people at other institutions in more prestigious positions who get to be academic rock stars. That's not my experience.
And probably not experience of 95%+
of almost certainly.
Yeah.
What led me to this vocation was my own experience as a college student. I had professors who took time to mentor outside of class, but also had a disposition, a way that they carried themselves in class that made you, the student, assured that you mattered and that what the class was covering mattered. And those two things, both in and out of class, led me to see those professors as not just admirable people, but as doing something that was worth doing. And as a student, I was already disposed. I was already inclined to see the subjects that we were covering in class as being important. I've been a reader all my life. I've been interested in the particular topics that I've pursued academically all my life. But being able to see not just those subjects held up as important, but also the gift of giving those things to others, that was the thing that really drew me into that vocation, is seeing it modeled and saying, that is a life that I would also want to live. Am I able to do?
So moving beyond, desire and interest, was there a time where you said, God, I think I'm hearing from you. I think I'm pretty clear. You're leading me. And this is a grace from you. I've got clarity on this is what I should be pursuing.
I didn't always have clarity. Again, this was a way in which mentors served. I had professors who at particular points in time stepped in and said, you know this material, but we believe that you also have the abilities, the gifting, the potential to do this professionally. People who stepped in and said, we can see you doing, you doing what we do. And that was not something that I'd ever imagined for myself.
God, in this case, we'd say, God is using this other person with or without their
right
awareness to lead you.
Yeah. My father is a medical professional, but for most of my life, both in my family and in my church, the men who I saw were men in construction or auto mechanics or house painters.
Trades.
Those callings in which you're outside, working in a very kind of physical and constructive way. And that was always what I thought, what I had in my mind when I was imagining what I would be when I grow up. But going to college and seeing this other thing out there, it's one of the functions that mentors can serve, that you can serve as a mentor, is to dream, to imagine for someone who hasn't been able to imagine that for themselves, and to impart that, to see in them potential that they don't realize they've got.
Yeah. Well, let me ask it from an angle. So instead of God's grace, what lies or what things have maybe had to fight against in this pursuit? There's a thing called the imposter syndrome where we assume I don't belong here. They're all going to find out eventually.
Yeah. Everyone in academia feels that. But I imagine that's probably the case in many vocations. Mm-hmm. The more you learn about something, the more you realize that there is left to learn. The way I like to say the illustration I like to give is when you are in grade school, you learn the names of the 50 states, and then you learn the capitals, and you think I understand America. And then you move to a new state, and you suddenly realize that there's so much more to what that place is than I know the name and I know the capital.
Yeah.
So that's what it is in every avenue of life. That's what it's like in academia. Mm-hmm. So just very briefly, the main thing that I learned in pursuing graduate and postgraduate education is the degree to which there are depths that I've just never plumbed. Mm-hmm. But being able to get past that and to say, and yet there's still much that I've learned, and there is still much that I can give. Mm-hmm. You're always fighting against that sense of your limitations, balanced with, but what have I been entrusted with? Mm-hmm. What have I earned that I also can?
For a brother or sister in Christ who's maybe exploring or thinking about or struggling with, what am I going to do? And it could be someone in their teens or 20s or someone in their 40s or 50s. What am I going to do with my life?
Yeah.
And what would you give them as far as here's what God has done or said to me?
Things that I've learned, touching back to a point that I made earlier, I never imagined as a child, as a teenager, as a graduate from high school, I did not imagine the life that I have.
If you were a prophet then, you would not have predicted this.
No, I would not have. I would not have predicted where I am today.
Okay.
And so if you are at a point where it looks like you're up against a wall and you see a blank.
I can't see a good future. I can't see.
Well, fortunately, there's much more to reality than what you can see and what you can imagine. I think there's stuff in the Bible about God being able to do more than we can ask or think.
Something
like that. Mm-hmm. And it's true. It is true. And it's true when you are sort of young and at those ages that our culture sees as this is the time to pick a vocation. And it's also true decades later when that plan A didn't work out for whatever reason.
Or it's run its
course. You find yourself,
whether
you wanted to or not, having to think of something else. That God of all that we can ask or imagine is still there.
That's helpful. How would you explain that to a young kid? You have an 8-year-old son?
Yeah.
Right?
Eight-year-old daughter.
How would you explain this to her? She's probably not picking a job yet. Now she has expenses.
Daily, every day, she is, this is what I want to do now.
Okay, never mind. She is picking a job.
Yes. No, she is actually feeling... I'm not sure whether it's coming from school or where it's coming from. She feels this pressure that she ought to know what she wants to be when she grows up.
Okay.
And she ought to already be getting good at it. I don't know where that's coming from. Is it Daniel Tiger? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I am having that conversation constantly.
Yeah.
But again, it is just the reminder that you don't have to know now for your future to be known.
Mm.
You don't have to be the knower.
That is helpful. That is, that's helpful in so many areas, but not least of which vocation. For a child of God, he's not just obligated. He delights in protecting, providing, caring for us.
Yes.
And that's a helpful reminder that I don't have to know. I don't have to take a little bit of data I have now and extrapolate what's going to happen. I can trust him and experience it along the way.
Yep.
Great. Any last things you'd want to say to our listeners or in this regard?
A lot of you have probably learned that you ended up doing something that you didn't study in school.
Mm-hmm.
That's an experience of many of my students. That is would have been my experience. I changed majors like 3 times. And that's pretty common of going on to a vocation that isn't necessarily what you studied.
Mm-hmm.
And you think all of that time and all of that money, because it's expensive, I wasted all of it. You could think of it that way. Or you could recognize that you are more than your vocation and God has more for you in your life than your job. And you never know when what you've put time and energy into learning, skills that you honed, you never know when that is the skill, that is the knowledge that God is going to be using to build his kingdom through you.
Mm-hmm.
There are no wasted skills. There is no wasted knowledge.
That is absolutely true. And doesn't hurt that, listen, this is the story of the humanities, right? Yes. Well, thank you so much for being with me today and sharing that. I'm receiving that as a great reminder. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for tuning into the Stories You've Missed podcast. We look forward to seeing you and letting you hear us next time.